Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always by my good friends and partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, sad news. Sad news, earnestly for a minute in the world of Christian publishing, in that Rachel Held Evans passed away this last Saturday, May 4th, last Saturday for us as we record. And I think it's not a stretch to say that this hit all three of us kind of hard, and probably harder than we anticipated that it might. I just want us to talk about that for a little bit. This podcast is definitely an entertainment vehicle first and foremost, and we've had a lot of fun, really not even with her or with her ideas over the years, just with the kind of the legend of her internet battles with Trogues. But yeah, this was a sad one. You know, it was a sad one, I think, for just those of us who are in Christian publishing and those of us who are parents and younger, and, you know, it just makes you think about a lot of things. And I think for me, it was odd in that Rachel Held Evans was never more human to me than she was in death, in the sense that I think in 2019, you get so used to dealing with people as just sort of disembodied internet personas. And, you know, it can be a stretch to think of that persona as an actual person with kids and a husband and a life. And it just kind of hit really hard on that level. And I don't know, you know, it made me think a lot of things about reading and writing in 2019. And I don't know the kind of work maybe that I want to do moving forward, but I'm curious to hear you guys speak into this a little bit and what your thoughts were about it. So Big R, you actually shared this news with Piper and I on Saturday. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think it was well said what you just laid out. You know, I never had any, I never had a face-to-face conversation with Rachel. And then, you know, you get this news and then you get some of, you know, you get the closing statement from her husband, Dan. And then you consider her two young babies. And the whole thing feels very real at that point. And you start considering, you know, our tribe and some of the back and forth conversations and discussions and disagreements that had happened throughout the years. And it really kind of brings back, I think, to mind and to heart things that are actually important when all of the back and forth kind of fades into the background, which is, mm-hmm. you know, we're people, we can have disagreements. You know, we can struggle with various aspects of our faith, and but man, we're still here as people who are, you know, deeply impacted by life and death and things that really actually unify us and draw us together at the end of the day. And I think it just, anytime someone dies unexpectedly and suddenly, it just brings those things to the forefront, mm-hmm. and it's just really sobering. So I think for us, you know, we had a very comedic sign off for her all of these years. And I think it brings a level of sobriety, not in the sense that we can't have comedic sign-offs, because we still will, but just in terms of what really matters, which is, you know, life, death, flesh and blood, and families that now have to exist, in a very, you know, in a very real, different, life-changing, future, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I think what you said was so good. And I'm reminded that, it's weird in 2019, in the world that we live in now, like reading in general is like an invitation to agree or disagree really loudly. Mm. And I think the three of us all grew up in an era where reading wasn't necessarily an invitation to that. Like reading for me was all about escaping into a story that I loved or a world that I wanted to inhabit for a little while. And, you know, it's been hard for me to get used to this kind of modern marketplace where reading really is just an invitation to really love something or hate it. But, you know, I think she existed really well in that space. And in a way she was the perfect writer for a 2019 kind of marketplace. And, you know, both sides of the aisle, if you will, really, I think, benefited from that. Pipe, what are your thoughts on this?
I think I agree with what both you guys said, both from a sort of who she was as a public figure, and then just Ronnie's comments on the weight of it, it landed heavy. I think the thing that struck me most was thinking about what it means to be, you know, friends or enemies or on opposite sides of an aisle from somebody. Cause I kept seeing people, like when she was, when the news came out that she was hospitalized, there was a lot of, you know, sort of the caveat comments, you know, she and I have always disagreed, but we should pray for her, as if those things have anything in common with one another.
Yeah.
And I never had a negative interaction with her. You know, we, every time we interacted, it was pretty much all online, but it was always friendly or funny or cordial. I never had a sense of animosity towards her at all. And it really made me think about the nature of online interactions and how much they can dehumanize and cheapen people. Yeah. Because even if I had had negative interactions with her, it wouldn't have changed anything about her value as a person and her, her dignity and her, you know, just if I was the one who was trolling it, that's my dignity that's at stake, not hers. And yeah. So there was that hit a lot, just thinking about the family, her husband and kids. I cannot imagine what they feel right now and what they're facing right now. I mean, I hope they also feel supported and loved by the outpouring of people who care for them. And then I think the last thing was just watching the responses of people who appreciated her so much. People who our camp really struggle to connect with in a loving, gracious way. So people who are pretty marginalized, whether that's because of sexual orientation or people of different races or different things, you know, just those who white reformed evangelicals struggle to connect with, she did. And they miss her. And there was just a profound outpouring from people who are in different camps than us. And that was really loud to me. And just, I think it's a thing to consider in terms of what, I don't know, what we could do different, how we could be different. What are the things, the ingredients that we are missing, to connect with those who we might write off or just sort of ignore pretty easily.
Mm. Yeah. I guess besides just deciding to disagree with all the theology in our camp, I mean, yeah, there's got to be a different way, right?
I mean, right. I mean, it connects with what Ronnie said, but I mean, theology doesn't define a person in one sense.
Yeah.
You know, there's the quote that nothing is more important about you than what you think about God. And that's true. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, theology does define us.
Yeah.
But your systematic theology, your theological definitions, your theological, you know, education are not the defining characteristics of what it means to be in the image of God, I don't think. And so, but our camp is much more comfortable dehumanizing and theologizing than we are fully humanizing and wading in some murky waters theologically. And there's a risk in that for sure, but also look at the impact that it can have if you're willing to, you know, if you're willing to go those miles that we don't tend to go.
Hmm. Yeah. And to be fair, I don't know that the other side was great at fully humanizing either when it came to our camp. I just think fully humanizing it's the most challenging thing to do, right? It requires the most work, and it's probably not as good for business. I mean, for lack of a better term, at the end of the day, like, you know, it's better for our industry to stand on one side of it and yell and scream and just sell books to people in our tribe. But yeah, my hope would be that, you know, I think the most dignified thing to do, you use the word dignity before, I think it's a great one, is to try to find a way to, you know, to humanize ourselves and others. But so much of the activity we do in this business seems to be dehumanizing. So,
I almost regret what I said a moment ago because I made it about sides by accident.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't, when somebody passes away, the sides kind of cease to matter.
Oh, totally. And I think that's the reaction that all three of us had.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it there have been some horrible things written since her passing about that are very, very leaning into the sides.
Yeah.
And you're right. Both sides get it wrong. But it, so my comments had more to do with the self-evaluation of, in this place that I am theologically, you know, ecumenically, et cetera, mm-hmm. what can I learn from somebody like her in the things that she does better than I do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's wise and that's good. And so the challenging thing in this moment, boys, do you guys have anything more to add on this? I don't want to cut anybody off. Big R, are you good?
Yeah, absolutely. I really like how you guys have articulated the emotion, as well as some of the potential, you know, things that we can really take away and learn moving forward, in terms of what it means to actually, you know, develop, you know, I think a good way of interacting, communicating, disagreeing. And I think humanizing is a great word, you know, so I think that's something that hopefully we've all learned from that a little bit more, because this thing has surfaced some things to, you know, in all of our hearts that you just kind of shake your head and you go, I don't want to go back to the way things used to be in terms of interactions and communications. And we know they will, you know, that's inevitable because we're talking about human beings who dehumanize things in general. But I like that this stands as a particular moment now, I think, that we will be able to look back on and maybe add some good godly caution to how we move forward.
Yeah, that's good. And boys, the challenge right now, radio wise, is how we move forward, because we have a show that's largely just for entertainment, right? We have a show that the three of us have done for years because we enjoy it, and we enjoy connecting together and laughing together and working through some of these topics together. And you know, part of moving forward for us, baby, is me asking you how many days until you have to go to an unhappier place and go home? How many more days in the resort, baby? What are we looking
at? Yeah, I mean it's getting tight now. I think we've got
tough. I'm so sorry.
I think we've gotten to the 18 day mark now. So it's
18 days you've been down there, or 18 days until you go back home?
I think 18 until we go back.
You're like 12 days away from being a legal resident.
Yeah. Dude, seriously. Is anyone in Ashland going to still know you when you go back home? Are you going to have to wear a name tag to your own church?
Yeah, we're going to incorporate name tags into the substance, you know, the uniform. Yeah.
Maybe just a little overhead, a little slideshow. This is who we are. You know, it's so good to be here.
Maybe if we only had screens, I'd be happy to do that.
You should do a missionary slideshow.
You should. This is our resort.
Feed my starving Floridians.
Showing me like in the jungles of Florida.
And instead of going up there wearing like a robe, like a, you know, some garment from across the way, you can go up just wearing like shorts and flip flops.
Yeah, like board shorts and a tank top. That's right.
Exactly. Yeah. I want to tell you about our trip.
I look like one of the Irwins, right? I'll come up there. I'll wear my hat and all my, you know, my khakis.
And I realize we've been gone for 2.5 months, but I just want to walk you through what we've been doing.
I'm Ronnie Irwin.
Yeah. Ronnie. So you're heading back home in 18 days. How long have you been away?
It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah. Okay. So you're kind of midpoint, but you're already starting to feel the squeeze of having to, you know, having to go back and preach a sermon in 3.5 weeks.
Yeah, that's rough.
That's hard, baby. Well, you know what? Hang in there. We'll do some radio together, and hopefully that'll take your mind off of it.
I am speaking at a conference my first weekend back too. So there's a lot.
Of course you are.
There's a lot.
Oh man. So your flock can look forward to like hearing from you in a month and a half. That's good.
No. I'm still preaching Bins that Sunday, but
Bins and needles there in Ashland. Piper, as Ron goes about the business of resting and unplugging, we need to go about the business of plugging something else, and that is a book from a sponsor, because this is a business venture that we're a part of here. So, Piper, the king of the promo read, the Michael Jordan of the promo read, you have one for us.
I do. Our sponsor this week and in coming weeks is Tyndale Publishers and Nav Press, and the book is Down to Earth, How Jesus' Stories Can Change Your Everyday Life. It's written by a pastor named Tom Hughes. We looked up Tom Hughes, and we were trying to decide if Tom Hughes, based on the name, was a kindly middle-aged man or an attractive young British actor. And turns out he's not an attractive young British actor. He is the other one. So the book is about the parables of Jesus, though, and it basically explores the parables of Jesus, stories that many of us are very familiar with, but attaching them to life. So prayer life, spiritual life, stewardship, anxiety, those kinds of things. So real everyday problems, because the title is Down to Earth. The idea is that Jesus used very down to earth examples to connect the gospel in real life ways. So this is available now. So if you go to Amazon or Christian Book Distributors or Lifeway.com or wherever you buy books, you can order Down to Earth by Tom Hughes there. There's also a website where you can learn more. It is downtoearthbook.com, and go check that out.
Well, there we go. There is a promo for a book that you could read.
Indeed.
If you were so inclined. Nice work, Piper.
Nice work,
it's been a few weeks. Sold anything on the program.
You know, promos are not like riding bikes.
They are when you do them, though. Effortless.
You're very gracious. It feels much more like shooting a basketball after not having done so in 3 years or something. It's like, I feel like I should know what to do, but it just doesn't feel quite right.
Yeah, the bike analogy worked better for me.
I hope you've been out in the driveway.
You've watched more people ride bikes than you have watched people shoot hoops running.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Ronald, what's the most physical thing you've done on your vacation? Have you ridden a bike, or do you make the little ascent to like, oh, we're going to work out on vacation?
No, I'm not one of those guys. I despise those guys. No, we walk. That's the most exercise we've done.
I bet Sojourn has got some yoked up, like, testosterone pill CrossFitters in the fold.
Oh, dude, 100%. And this is what was so crazy, man, is that on the retreat, like, half those guys, like, they're still CrossFitting.
They are. Dude, they're out on the beach in the morning, like flipping tires around and pushing.
Totally, man. They're like up, like they're literally up at 5 a.m. because they found this one CrossFit gym like 5 miles up the road, and they all like get together and like go there. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing?
Dude, they're
it's
getting
so
away,
offensive
man.
To me. It's
they're recharging.
It's
this is how
so
they relax.
Offensive to me. Exercise on vacation is so offensive to me.
Dude, they're flipping somebody else's tires instead of the tires at their home. It's exciting. It's
offensive, morally offensive, like smelling. What kind of offensive are we talking about?
It's just offensive because it's not what you should be doing. I mean, it's like the opposite of like retreating, recuperation. They're continuing the grind, and that.
Dude, now Piper, we're getting into content now. This is why Ron needs to write his Christian rest book. So
yeah, I don't agree with Ron on this one. I think he's wrong. I mean, I think CrossFitters are insane, but.
Well, I think they're obnoxious people. Of course, they're kind of the worst, but
they need to stop CrossFitting in any context for all of our sakes. But
we're disagreeing. Guys, explain that. Explain to me why
we're disagreeing, because for many people working out, it's like a mental relaxation thing. Like, it's like drinking coffee in the morning to kind of enjoy your morning, or, you know, having that cocktail in the evening or whatever. Like, working out has the same sort of mental effect. What's that?
It's a way to deal with the stress, right?
Right. I mean, or just you feel better. So it like gets you off on the right foot for the day. So it would be the grind for you to do it on vacation because you don't do it in any other context either. So it would be adding misery to your vacation. But for some people, it's like, I don't know. It's just. It's their happy drug, which is kind of insane, but also
I would say that's true, except it's just not true at all. So,
dude, now Ron,
is this an agree to disagree, which we don't really need to do, but maybe we just say it because that's the line.
Dude, I would say that strikes me as true if it wasn't so false, but yeah, go on, Big T.
Think of this segment as like content for your book. Now I want you to walk Piper and I through like what's an average day of Ron's vacation look like. So this is resting Ronnie. So this is content for your book. Lay it on us, man. What's that ideal day look like?
Okay, so like I start with coffee for about an hour in the morning, do a little devotional stuff. About like 7:30, me and Big M do like a long like hour walk on the beach. We work up a sweat, so it's kind of like working out, Pipe. I guess I see where you're going with that a little bit. Come back, do a little break. Big M usually heads out to the beach. I continue working on my Christmas novel. Mm-hmm. And then, at some point we come together. I hit the sand. I grab one of my fiction books again. Thank you, Pipe. And I just finished A Man Called Ove. We just kind of
called Uva, but that's fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Ove is more American for me. And then, we, Yeah, you know,
more American for me. You know.
It's more Ohio.
That's your Ohio. Truth. That's your truth.
And right, this is my truth. Tell me yours. And
Ohio.
And then yeah, man, we just kind of continue on with the day, grab a bite, end up taking a long walk again that night as the sun's dipping down. So it's pretty cash. And then I watch another episode of When Calls the Heart on Netflix sometime at night before bed. So
wow, what a day, man. Suffering for Jesus. This is taxing.
It's rough.
It's so rough. Well, baby,
that sounds stressful to me.
Oh, it does?
That day sounds stressful to me.
Lean into that, Piper. What's
are you just saying that because you're mad at my working out comment, Piper?
No, I'm not mad. I get antsy if I sit around too much. I have to do more things.
Yeah.
Really? Because I feel like I just laid out a lot of doing, man.
No, you laid out a lot of sitting still with two walks involved. The eating part I'm totally down with. I like walking is nice. But they're just, I feel like there has to be some mixed in. Maybe that's it. Maybe there's just like excess energy to burn off or something like that. But I get
when
really
am I supposed
antsy
to read my fiction novels? How?
Again, my truth, Ron. You don't get to argue with my truth. That's not how this works.
Oh no, I do argue with everybody's truth. But you're a big fiction reader. How do you get in the reading time? Is what I'm asking.
Audiobooks.
Oh, you're the
while
audiobook
taking long walks.
Okay, I don't.
It's
buy
a
that
two for one. It's doubly effective.
I don't believe in audiobooks, but go on.
Wow. Well, I know who's not writing the foreword for Ron's like earth-shattering evangelical tome on rest. It's not going to be one Barnabas Piper. But baby, who would be your ideal foreword guy for the rest book?
Oh, dude.
Who else is doing this? Who else is resting at your level? Maybe nobody in the world.
Who's writing the rest stuff right now? I feel like that's all anybody talks about. Is anybody writing about it?
Oh, right? Let's see.
Pipe, the guy who works at Lifeway. I mean, can you help a couple of gentlemen out here?
I feel like there's a lot of Sabbath writers out there, but not a lot of people who are like, no, literally do nothing for a month and a half. I haven't run across the theology.
Take
of
a Sabbath.
Sitting on your
by
backside.
Sabbath, I mean 2 months.
That's right.
Certainly we haven't come upon something that like has to be written about that hasn't been written about. That's literally impossible.
Maybe we have. That's what I've been saying for like a year and a half on this for you. This is the fertile market. You need to put down that Christmas novel that you're messing around with, and you got to jump right into this evangelical rest thing.
Can we come up with an acronym for REST? I mean, can we do it? I mean,
S will be stewardship, and that means getting Sojourn to pay for your trips.
E can be evangelical.
Yeah.
So we got evangelical stewardship. So we need an R and a T that sort of makes sense.
Reclaiming evangelical stewardship of time. Rest.
Dude, that
Boom!
Is so big.
Reclaiming evangelical stewardship.
Baby, you need to write that one. Why are we talking about me? I think you're the one.
Baby, you're the one who does this all the time. You're the one that spends like a third of his year doing this. You need to write it. This is your thing.
All right, I'll give you cred for the acronym. How about that?
Give me cred. Just give me a little piece of the action.
So here's the thing. You both need to write it because Ted, you need to do like the accompanying journalist routine on this one where you go. You go with Ronnie for Parson of this. So you're writing this as an observational thing. You are the outsider on how the expert does this. And Ronnie's doing it in sort of the zen, restful reclaiming of evangelical stewardship of time.
But Pipe, he's so bad at rest, he won't be around long enough to even see how I'm doing rest because he just needs to get up and like stir.
I'll only have like a day and a half there.
He'll be at the CrossFit gym with my boys from Sojourn every morning. You know,
but no, a day and a half to watch the Michael Jordan of rest do his thing or not do his thing, as it were. This is going to be hot, man.
If I get stir crazy too, man, I'm not going to lie, man. I get a little stir crazy sometimes. It's rough.
Day 18 of the retreat. You start to just kind of question some things.
He's like, I need to go do this somewhere else. This place is tiresome.
I got to go have a brunch at 10:30. Ugh.
Well, I mean, I have been meeting with dudes. I've been meeting with pastors and stuff. So there you go. You know, it's all good.
Yeah, meeting with pastors, talking through some feelings. I mean, it's work of us.
Talking through my Christmas novel, getting a little inspiration, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So are these guys all gone from their churches at the same time? So essentially, Sojourn has closed its doors for a month and a half.
Well, dude, it's 4 days. The retreat's 4 days. Oh, so it's like, it's nothing.
All right.
No big deal. Yeah. No big Everybody's surviving. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You just decided to do like 11 retreats in a row.
I just did one retreat on the heels of that retreat. And then since we were out here, we decided to have our vacation. That's all we're doing.
Piper, can I run an industry thing by you vis-a-vis our boy here, because I think this might be the elegant solution.
It's no big deal.
Hit me.
Piper, what about a study Bible on rest? There are all these study Bibles, all these options. I mean, myriad options. There's no end.
I feel like the Sabbath study Bible?
Yes.
We need to finagle Ronnie into the rest-oriented study Bible. I'd love to do a Sabbath study Bible.
Of course you would.
There'd be some pockets for like your boarding passes and like little tchotchkes that you accumulate. Like there'd be a lanyard section.
Like every six verses, it just says like pause and stare at the beach. You know, look at a sunset.
It's the Selah study Bible.
Yeah, it's called Selah. And yeah, like most of it is gone except for the word Selah. But yeah, plenty of places to journal, plenty of places for like food photos.
The whole thing's just blank. It's just all blank now.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a scrapbook.
There's no text. There's no content. It's called a journal.
It's like social media that you only do for yourself.
It is a study Bible without the study or the Bible.
Correct.
Exactly. Perfect.
I think we get Ron to provide some commentary, you know? He can pull out these kind of rest-oriented passages of scripture and do a little commentary. This is the marketplace. So you guys know more about these like this explosion of the study Bible industry than I do. What are some of the wackier ones that you guys have run across?
Oh man, the one my pipe, you tell me, but man, my favorite one that came out, I think last year, it was this one, man, the archaeology.
Yeah.
Oh, that's been out for a minute. They just re-released it.
Oh dude, I saw that and I'm like, you're joking. I mean, like when is like the baking study Bible like going to come out, right?
Let's
like,
do it. They baked a lot in the Bible.
Yeah, it's just got like 44 recipes for unleavened bread.
Absolutely.
Yeah, oh, dude, that's bad. But that one got me, man. And then the illustrated study Bible, I actually thought that was cool, but I was like, really? Like the illustrated study Bible, you know?
Yeah, so here's the thing. Individually, some of these are great ideas. Like you have your classic study Bibles, you know, there's for forever. There's been the Zondervan study Bible. There's the ESV study Bible. There's the CSV study Bible. These are more just like help you understand the text notes. Those are helpful. You get some of the thematic ones that can be helpful or like individual. So I love the Spurgeon study Bible. Yeah, it's not like really a study Bible. It's more like a devotional Bible though, because it's more like sermonic reflections on different passages. But yeah, then there's like, there's the Duck Commander Bible from back when Duck Dynasty was a big deal.
No, did they really have that pipe?
Oh, did they?
I think they did have that.
Dude, that's insane. I had no idea.
There are Bibles for golfers. Nice. There are Bibles study for fishermen. Bible? There are Bibles for outdoorsmen because that's different than fishermen. Outdoorsmen like to shoot things, apparently. But they couldn't call it the Hunter's Bible because that's aggressive. And then you have like the Ancient Faith Study Bible, and you have the – what is the one that Crossway has? Like the Gospel for Life study Bible. And then there's my favorite is the one, it's the NIV one. And it's just the Jesus Bible.
Okay.
Because the other ones are not about Jesus, apparently. In case you want, you know, in case you get confused. Yeah, it's a, when you mix commerce and spirituality, you get some really weird products.
That's true, man.
And some really hackneyed decisions on which products to put out as well.
Yeah, it's kind of a mess out there.
It kind of makes me wonder, did nobody in the room raise their hand and go, "Really, guys? The Duck Commander Bible?" Yeah, I mean, that's a big paycheck. But the Duck Commander Bible? For real?
Dude, when did that thing jump the shark, the whole Duck Dynasty thing? Is that over? Is it like officially over at this point?
I mean, I'm sure there's still people who think Uncle Si is awesome, but it's gone.
Interesting. So I really am shocked that there's no like rest-oriented study Bible. That's pretty crazy. Now,
I'm looking this up.
There has to be, because it would be a little more poetic in nature. There has to be something like that. Mm-hmm. There must be.
Dude, would it have travel tips in it? Like how to get to the gate on time and like you know how to find the best deals on flights. I feel like there needs to be some practicality and
have a couple pages on like expedia.com and my experience with that and
absolutely.
You know what?
We gotta give the people.
I don't see any. I see some Bible studies on rest.
Man.
I know, but man, you know, you got to get a theologian to write a study Bible. Nobody's going to give me a study Bible. You know, it's just not going to happen.
Charles Ryrie says no.
Baby, I'm thinking a quick book, 30,000 words, man. You could write that in your sleep, right? A little tome on rest. And, it's an evergreen topic. It'll never go away. This thing, it makes all the sense in the world to me.
I feel like there has to be like 14 books on rest that I'm just not thinking about right now.
Oh, there are tons of things on rest, but they're like, first of all, they're all aimed at women because dudes don't need to rest apparently. And second of all, they're mostly Bible studies.
Yeah, that's true.
Or like, or 4 week studies or whatever, because an 8 week study would not be restful. 4 weeks is restful. So they're out there. I know that there's a lot of books that lean into simplifying and things like that, and that those are rest-ish, but still not like really. This is about leisure. We're just calling it rest because
we're calling it rest because
that's
spiritual.
Palatable. Yeah,
yeah, but it's a book about vacations and leisure. With a spiritual veneer, which is exactly the kind of book that sells.
Really, what
well.
You're writing, Ronnie, is the 4-hour work week, but just totally. Church it up a little bit.
Totally, I'm going to church it up, baby.
You,
what's the acronym
Tim Ferriss,
again?
Two peas in a pod.
Reclaiming evangelical stewardship of time, rest.
That is so epic, man. Literally, that's the golden.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
How many publishers right now are listening to this podcast just thinking, man, I can't get to this quick enough. I can't write that email off quick and I can't send that thing off.
I mean, our agent's phone is going to be ringing off the hook with the offers. So, I mean, our lives are going to change forever because of this. So I hope
you'll be able to rest more.
Maybe. We're going to have to work a little bit, though. I mean, we're going to have to go nose to the grindstone for a little bit and get that.
Maybe would you be my ghostwriter for this so I can rest while I'm writing my rest book?
Yeah, exactly. I can do all the work and you'll get all the money. That's typically how those things work.
That's how rest works.
Yeah, that's how rest works. That's right. Get someone else to do all the work so that you can have leisure and so that you can plan. Quote unquote planning has to be a huge part.
Planning is at least three of the chapters.
Planning, vision casting. This is how we sort of spiritualize the rest. You know, we're just doing just casting a big picture. You know, we're just dreaming a little bit, just planning.
Why are visions always cast? Why is that the verb?
I don't know, because it's like a fisherman was the guy that came up with that concept.
Yeah, but that just sounds like the weirdest mixing of metaphor. Like, why don't you formulate a vision or generate a vision or
instead
produce
of like casting
a vision
out into the black water of the ocean and having it just
casting,
sink forever?
Casting a vision sounds very much like you're throwing it out there and hoping it works, kind of
like
fishing.
I feel like people who have actual good ideas never call it vision casting. I feel like it's only ridiculous guys with stupid delusions of grandeur that call
only
it vision
thought
casting.
Thought leaders use the word vision casting.
Thought leaders, yeah.
People who have failed at a previous either ministry or business venture.
Yeah. No, the thing about vision casting is like, well, that's the beauty of it. You don't even have to cast a vision. You just have to say vision casting. It's like, oh.
Right, you never have to actually.
Ron, you're the Michael friggin' Jordan of this stuff.
He is.
Like, you know all the shortcuts.
It's like breathing for him. Yeah, I mean, he's not even trying right now. He's not
and
even.
He will never try. Never ever will he try. That's the
what
point.
Do you mean try?
No trying.
What does that even mean? I don't get it.
I don't even know. I don't even have a category for trying.
No, I mean, I don't even know what you mean saying I don't try. What does that mean?
Are you saying he hasn't thought about it, Piper? Or are you saying this just comes naturally to him in a way that
there's just? I think the Michael
Piper,
Jordan of leisure is
man.
Born,
not
made.
Yeah. All right.
Ron, are you uncomfortable with that phrase guru though? Because we need to have this out. So
dude, no, I'm not even uncomfortable with it. I wish I was the guru of rest. I'm not.
How are you not the guru of rest? I mean, you're living
the
lifestyle
of
that.
I don't have the book.
Well, you got to have the book.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
It's the last hurdle. We're going to get over this mountain and then you're going to,
I don't know. Pipe, is B&H going to give me the deal for rest, which is say the acronym again, baby.
Reclaiming evangelical stewardship of time. Rest.
It's so catchy that I can't remember it, even though you said it 19 times.
Baby, I could see that on a t-shirt. That's going on a throw pillow. I mean, the ancillary products are just going to be through
the roof. Oh, the ancillary, rest products that go along with it. Yeah.
This doesn't strike me as a B&H title. I think you need to hit up your boy Marky Mark and go to Charisma House with this one.
Okay. It does sound a little... Anymore. It sounds a little Charisma Housey.
We just turned into a big joke. I don't have
no,
a career.
Baby, it's not a joke. It's not a joke.
Oh, yeah. Did you think I was kidding? I was completely 100% serious.
How much would it take to get you to do a book with Charisma House? Just Charisma House saying, would you do a book for us?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you should see the number of labels I've recorded for. It's just not that big of a deal, you know?
That's true. Anybody with money that will spend. So, Piper, just by way of a last topic here, how big would Ron's book on rest have to get before he gets an invitation to the Met Gala? The Met Gala just happened. This is a fashion show for celebrities. You got to really be popping at a certain level celebrity wise to get a Met Gala invitation.
See, I don't know necessarily that it's how big as much as like if it's an Oprah Book Club book, sure, you're probably there. And this one has strong potential for that. I could see Oprah loving the idea of not doing things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think the other thing is imagine if the right celebrity got their hands on it. So the question is, what celebrity endorsement gets Ron to the Met Gala?
Who has to champion this thing in order for Ronald to get to the Met Gala?
I mean, is it Lady Gaga? Is she the right one?
Dude, so yeah, let's say Gogs picks this up and she goes, I'm tired of making records and movies and just super high-end things that sell really well. I got to get away and unplug for a couple weeks. I need somebody to tell me how to do that. She picks the book up. It blows her mind. And then her people reach out to Ron and say, what, would you, you know, we want you and Melissa to come to the Met Gala. Would you go, baby?
I mean, is that even a question? Baby, of course I would go. I mean, it wouldn't even, that's not even a question. I feel like I'm already there.
What if it conflicted with a conference?
I would just find a way to be able to do both.
That's right. That's right.
I'd say, guys, I have to speak on Friday night because I got the gala on Saturday. Is that cool?
I got to find a little Sojourn church to speak in near Manhattan. So,
baby, if I'm getting invited to the Met Gala, that means the conference guy is going to work with me.
Dude, but as a Christian, though, it's all about justifying the trip, right? So, you've got to attach a little bit of ministry to that Met Gala trip so that your denom will pick up the tab. So, yeah, you have to pop into a little church, do a little sesh. That way the whole thing gets written off.
Yeah, the way he does it is he just gets a custom tux, and it's got John 3:16 sewn into the pinstripes.
Nice.
And then you're a witness. So,
Piper, could you tell us
you were not one of those kind of churches. Come on.
Could you tell us for sure what the Met Gala is? Because I feel like I'm even though I've been talking about it for 10 minutes, I don't actually know what it is, maybe.
It is basically a party for the uber famous rich and elite at the Met in New York. And it is the entire thing centers around the red carpet.
Yeah.
And so it's basically a fashion show for famous people, and it has become. Have you watched the Hunger Games movies?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know the scenes, the victors or the competitors are paraded, and there's just all these outlandish costumes, and there's dresses on fire, and different things like that. That's the Met Gala, except it's people you know of. You know, so it's like Tom Cruise wearing a dress that's on fire or something like that. I mean, it is. The pictures look alien. George Lucas would roll his eyes and go, that's not real. So it is just a self-aggrandizing, look at us, we're famous and can wear outlandish things event. It's perfect.
Dude, I didn't know that's what it was. So it's literally A-list Hollywood celebs that are just, they're doing a runway show.
Well, no, I mean, they're just walking the red carpet into the thing, which I'm sure they sip champagne and talk to agents and suck up to each other and admire art and stuff. But there's probably a charitable cause where they spent $11 billion on this dress and cut a check for $5,000 to a charity or something like that. But
so kind of like Together for the Gospel.
Exactly like Together for the Gospel. I can see no differences at all.
Interesting. Is there a red carpet moment at Together for the Gospel? Is there a moment where everybody's kind of filtering in and pictures are getting taken, and what's the closest thing we have in Reformedom to that kind of moment?
Man, that would be amazing.
It would, wouldn't it? This needs to be a thing. If it's not already, maybe it is.
I mean, it's well, It's kind of called the Dove Awards in some ways, but it's not. That's not really.
That's not remotely reformedom, but it is.
No, it's not. It's
Christian red carpety for sure.
It's churchy. It's churchy. Yep.
Do Christians ever get invited to these Met Galas?
I mean, Chris kidding? Pratt and Bono do.
Yeah, that's true. Lauren Daigle now. So there you go. You
know. Dude, who's Lauren Daigle? I don't even know who that is.
She's the hippie Adele.
Oh, interesting. She's a Christian.
Yeah, she's kind of the latest, Christian crossover into the mainstream kind of singer that everybody's having problems with right now.
She's a Nashvilleian.
Yeah, I mean, she is. What are the problems?
In the way that every Christian musician is.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Also, what's that noise? Are you like icing your knees in a cold tub, Ron? What is that?
Seriously, it sounds like you're using ice trays and dumping them into the bucket.
Exactly. It might be ice trays. It might be my wife doing ice trays right now, boys.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Gotta have cold beverages when you're out on the beach reading fiction.
Correct. Still work to be done on vacation. It's not all fun.
Correct. Yeah. Well, while I write my book.
Ice trays are a lot like working out, Ron. Be careful with that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why my wife does them. What's the acronym again? One more time, baby, just for
rest. Reclaiming evangelical stewardship of time.
So catchy that you're the only guy that continues to remember what it is.
Maybe it's because it's going to make us rich.
Dude,
okay?
Nothing says Christian acronym like 44 syllables.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Just complexify that thing right up.
I might just use that for like a sermon. I mean, that's just 4 points right there, baby. I mean, that came out of nowhere.
I'm doing your job for you. But
reclaiming, too. I like the word reclaiming. That's good. Yeah. That'll go well with the millennial gen right there.
Maybe it's not my first rodeo, man, in evangelicalism. I've been around for a while.
In selling schlock to Christians.
Exactly. Selling crap to Christians. Oh, boys. Speaking of, we should probably go. Piper has more crap to sell to Christians, and I have stuff to do here on my end, and we're probably keeping Ron from something. He may have had to move some coffee appointments with dudes around.
Rest. To keep me from additional rest, from reclaiming evangelical stewardship of time.
How are you feeling? Are you feeling tangibly recharged by this retreat? Is it what it's supposed to do? Is it delivering on that level?
You know what, boys? I'll riff on that next time because I actually have some thoughts on that. But
really?
Yeah, I just want to
lean into this for a minute. Is there a law of diminishing returns in effect wherein the retreat is not as restful as it once was?
Yeah,
because you're going to have to address that.
There has been for me for sure. Yeah.
What do you do about that?
I'm working it out.
There's also a law of like the feeling like you have to pack in your rest before you go back to the stress. And so
there's pressure.
You feel an obligation to relax, which is exactly how relaxation works best.
It's called obligatory rest. In fact, I might just name my book Obligatory Rest.
Wow. That's got legs.
That one needs to be workshopped a little bit, but it's a good concept.
Folks, this has been three affluent white men complaining about our vacations. That's good radio. That's going to sell.
It's selling.
Say what?
It's selling.
Yeah, selling. I think we have wandered to and fro throughout these topics. I think it's safe to say. I've enjoyed it. Ronald, don't work too hard on your vacation. And until next time, girl, wash your face.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Hello, I'm Adam Comer.
And I'm Ryan Chittister.
And we are the host of Life After Addiction podcast. What we believe is that addiction is not a surprise to God.
That's right. We discuss addiction from a biblical worldview and how true freedom comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Absolute freedom from addiction, the secular worldview of once an addict, always an addict, is just not true. If you or someone you love struggles with addiction, subscribe to Life After Addiction at lifeaudio.com.